Welcome to The Daily Decrypt, the go-to podcast for all things cybersecurity. Get ready to decrypt the complexities of cyber safety and stay informed. Stand at the frontier of cybersecurity news, where every insight is a key to unlocking the mysteries of the digital domain. Your voyage through the cyber news vortex starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Daily Decrypt. Today is February 7th, and it is a very important day as we have me, Offset Keys, we have Doja Span, who you're used to, and we have our new favorite IT professional, introductory cybersecurity professional, Trey.
Bring hey, a story thanks for you.
Heck yeah, Trey.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and Meta's pledge to label it on all of its platforms. We're going to be talking about hackers and how they exploited job boards, stealing resumes and personal data. And then finally, we're going to talk about world countries as well as tech giants signing a spyware responsibility pledge. Just yesterday on Tuesday, Meta announced that they will be labeling all artificially intelligent content, such as images and videos and audios and maybe even text. So this includes content created by OpenAI or Google or the main players in the AI, quote, AI community. And this is pretty huge because, as you may know, in the United States, to all of our foreign listeners out there, in the United States, the election is coming up, and it's a pretty controversial one. So this will be very important, as I have multiple bots that just create content using AI, and it can do whatever. It can forcefully create false content if you want it to. So this is huge. This was unveiled by Nick Clegg, president of global affairs at Meta. And yeah, it just aims to inform users when they're viewing content created by generative AI. We can get ahead of the curve, and we can tell y'all that every tweet that you read on the Daily Decrypt's Twitter is AI generated. So it might not have the label, but it is AI generated.
I definitely think there's some stuff that makes you raise an eyebrow. You hear about like the Taylor Swift stuff on Twitter, yeah. And that's brought it to a lot of people's attention that there's some crazy things that you can do with the help of AI.
There will always be Twitter. If Facebook and Meta and OpenAI, they're all down to label it, but Twitter is going to be the wild, wild west. So I can't believe they put that Taylor Swift stuff on.
Trolls will always be trolls. Yeah,
Twitter trolls be trolling. What I'm curious about is, what's the level of consumer trust in these labels? And when people find ways to bypass these labels, will they then trust that material even more as true?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I'll admit I'm one of those people that I'm going to try to figure out ways around any restriction, right. Any guardrail you put in front of me, I'm going to try to mess around with it. So if I was dead set on creating AI-generated content, I'm going to figure out the way around it. So
yeah,
you bring up a really valid point.
All they can do is add metadata, and metadata can be overwritten in most cases. So maybe it'll help boost the security of metadata. But yeah, I think if some disinformation gets out there generated by AI and doesn't get tagged, it's going to be even worse.
So today's second story, it's going to be coming from the Hacker News, and the story covers the unsettling breach that compromised over 2 million user data records. So out of these, a significant portion, about 500,000 records, originated from job search websites. The stolen data, which is a goldmine of personal information that includes names, contact details, employment histories, was later discovered for sale on the dark corners of Telegram, which is a messaging platform that's often used for more nefarious transactions. The hackers deployed a two-pronged attack strategy, leveraging both cross-site scripting and SQL injection techniques. Cross-site scripting involves injecting malicious scripts into trusted websites, so they're tricking the user's browser into executing the script as if it's coming from a trusted source. SQL injection, on the other hand, is going to exploit vulnerabilities in the website's database, so it's going to allow attackers to execute unauthorized database commands, and it's going to get the database to give up information that it otherwise would not give up. So this attack was primarily in Southeast Asia, it sounds like. If you're someone that's looking for jobs, I'm going to be in that market here shortly. It's important that you safeguard the data that you're putting onto the internet. This is, you saw names, contact details, employment histories. That's all really valuable information for people online who are in the business of stealing other people's identities. Make sure you're using trusted sources. Looking out when you're looking for jobs. Don't just, if someone sends you something that I've heard it said on this podcast a million times now, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So it, a part of it, I feel like, is on these companies that need to, I mean, we need to secure our web applications better, right?
Yeah.
But then as far as like, you have to take some onus on yourself. Protect the information that you're putting on the internet, because people will find that. They do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to play a little more defense with your stuff, especially nowadays.
These two vulnerabilities are in the top 10. They've been in the top 10, the OWASP top 10, for a couple decades now. There's open source libraries that will solve these problems for you. There's no excuse for that.
SQL map, an oldie but a goodie, you know?
Yeah, free software that'll help you map out someone's SQL databases. It's crazy. None of this stuff that they did cost them any money.
I was completely thinking of this in the inverse of them hacking and job boards, but more along the lines of people posting job adverts to get people to send them the resumes. And then kind of just went down a rabbit hole of thinking about what the heck can you do to avoid that? Like, for these job posting sites, not so much LinkedIn, there's the verified options, but Indeed and that sort of, those other sites.
I mean, the only reason that a company you're applying to needs your full name is to run a background check. So one thing that I've started doing on my resume is use a generated email address that forwards to my main email address. It's like happyowl792@fastmail.com, and then I will put the first three letters of my last name, but not my full last name. I have a Google number that I use whenever I can, but you know, there's gonna have to be more technology being spun up in the future with creating multiple addresses, perhaps, or fake phone numbers to cycle through them, so that it's harder for big data to keep a profile on you and for hackers to password credential stuff and do all these things when they have so many different data points.
Yeah, those are good suggestions. I'll be honest, I've never really thought about my own personal security when applying for jobs. I mean, the thought has occasionally crossed my mind where, yeah, I'm throwing my resume on there and you've got my address, you will have a phone number, the correct email, and yeah, like I use burner emails for everything else, but I'm just automatically going to trust that this job that I'm applying for is good,
right?
Legitimate. Like, even it could be applying for a company that has a well-known name and everything else, but what's stopping a malicious actor from posting that and posing as that company? Like, yeah, if I saw some detection engineer position at Facebook or Meta, sorry, I might be inclined to apply at it, and even, yeah, Facebook. I wouldn't think twice about needing to keep my own information. I mean, Facebook, they already have everything anyways, but
oh yeah,
I wouldn't even think twice. I just go ahead and send in my resume with full information, and then next thing you know, some malicious actor has all that. But good luck using that for a password.
So recently, my girlfriend uses a P.O. box for her personal business instead of our home address. She uses a P.O. box. She goes and checks it every once in a while. That came up for renewal. And so just a couple weeks ago, we decided to look into different ways to do essentially the same thing. With Fastmail in mind, we found a couple websites that will actually forward mail to you. They'll give you an actual physical address, and they will take pictures of your mail and forward it to you. That's crazy. I think that's great. So we signed up for that, and it was cheaper than a P.O. box. It was about half the price of a P.O. box, and you don't even have to go to the P.O. box. Okay, so you have this option here with the addresses. You have Google phone numbers. You have other ways of getting your phone calls forwarded to your actual phone. You have Fastmail, which will create random email addresses for you that will forward to your regular email. And then, yeah, there's no need for a job to have your full name.
To shift gears a little bit, we're going to go into a story from Dark Reading. This one was published by Terra Seals, and it outlines a big global endeavor. This article titled, World Governments, Tech Giants Sign Spyware Responsibility Pledge. Countries like France, the UK, US, along with tech giants such as Google, Meta, and Microsoft, have united to establish a framework for responsible use of commercial spyware. This announcement comes shortly after the US introduced a visa restriction policy that targets individuals who have been abusing spyware tools. Now, what exactly is commercial spyware? It's programs like Pegasus, which probably hasn't been heard of amongst the general audience. But Pegasus was developed by a fairly legitimate business, and it was designed to exploit your phone or whatever device it was installed on using sophisticated zero days and allow people to essentially spy on you. So it could have been another company that licensed out this product and they were able to spy on you. And it goes even deeper than, you know, some of the stuff that we've covered previously where, you know, web tracking, cookies, and that sort of thing. This was full on capturing images, intercepting messages, and listening in on conversations. Because this was a big security hole within the phones, they were able to get everything. So if this happened to anybody, your phone was completely compromised. And a lot of the ways that this software works is that it hides itself. So you wouldn't have any information as to, oh, the camera's on. No, It was exploiting any of those safeguards. So ultimately what this is the initiative, or the Pall Mall process is what it's being deemed as. It was announced in London, and it aims to set guidelines for responsible use of cyber tools, emphasizing the transparency and accountability. So if you are putting this in your software or using any of this technology, you have to be transparent about it, and then also holds parties accountable for the use, so that governments and everybody else has to have the appropriate reasoning, go through due process, have warrants, those sorts of things.
So I'm curious, when I hear spyware, I think of criminals and like bad actors in some foreign country intercepting download files and implanting spyware or whatever, and then they're in. Are you saying that this applies, that there are current, quote again, legitimate companies that are using spyware that we willingly download spyware?
Yes. This was big in the cybersecurity community over the past several years, where this tool called Pegasus, it was developed by the NSO group, and they were essentially like a quote-unquote legitimate company. They weren't based out of the U.S. They were based out of another country, but other countries were licensing their software, and then they could bake it into their own applications. So wow. You would contact NSO Group, you would buy the capability to exploit the latest iPhone, and you would put it in your app. So if you had, I don't know, some government app or something like that, It would have all the capabilities hidden underneath it.
So we all know that Facebook and Google and Amazon freaking uses robots to map the inside of your house. Like they look at your cameras, they do all this stuff. Where's the line between what Facebook, Google, and Amazon are doing and what we would consider spyware? Is that considered spyware?
The NSO group is an Israeli cyber arms company.
Thank you.
So I think the difference between companies like Meta and X is that they're not backed by the Israeli government. Part out, but I just wanted to throw that in there for prosperity's sake, but yeah.
No, that's great.
So the overall goal is to target those companies that are doing things without you knowing, and more so full-on exploiting your phone to bypass the safeguards. Amazon, Google, Meta, they've all done things to track what you do in various means, but it has, to my knowledge, not normally been a full-on exploit to bypass safeguards.
If you look at the types of data that these companies are able to get from us, and then you kind of, let's think about spyware for a second, and just the types of spyware. So there's key loggers. That's one of the first things that comes to mind. So let's just track down this guy's keystrokes or this person's keystrokes and just see what they're searching, see what they're talking about. Maybe we can't really call it spyware, because then we don't want to besmirch the reputation of any of these tech giants, right? Mm. But let's look at, how do they get this data from us? Because I'm not posting all the time about the stuff that I see that pops up on my phone, the targeted ads and things like that. So maybe we can't call it spyware, but maybe there's a better term for it, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting that these tech giants are kind of behind this, you know, this action as well. As it says in the article, that Google, Meta, and Microsoft are all establishing this framework. And so I'm thinking that this applies to slightly illegitimate apps that are in the Google App Store, such as the Valentine's Day romance scams apps, right? Like these fake dating profiles. So developers of these apps will now have sort of legal ramifications if they get caught, as opposed to just being taken off the App Store. Maybe they're getting fined, but they're now going to be restricted from doing any sort of business or entering the countries that have partnered with them. So that's pretty cool. We need more government intervention. I feel like even the first story that I talked about, where these tech giants are now placing themselves responsible for labeling artificially intelligent generated content, isn't that like kind of the job of the government as well? Like, shouldn't the government be stepping in and like mandating that? Like, where are you guys? Where's our government? Where's any government when it comes down to this?
Yeah. It is the government. The government does need to step in and control these companies. We're, decades past these companies kind of doing whatever they want and then getting a slap on the wrist later when the mm-hmm. government got around to creating a regulation or fining them or whatever for that violating users' privacy. They need to step in front of it.
And I mean, I've seen enough supervillain movies to know that these companies are mentioned in two of the three articles, and they're painting themselves as if they're doing something good. They're doing the job of the government so that they can be immune to whatever. And the government, you can't just say, oh, thank you guys so much. You have to check out what they're doing too.
Yeah. I'm worried about the sleight of hand. So they're signing all this stuff with all these countries, and they're backing all this change. But what's going on over here? So we're all looking at this over here. What's going
down? That's exactly what it is.
Side,
and we will. It'll all unfold in the next 10 years. But hey, to all the congressmen and senators that are listening to this podcast right now, maybe take a look at that.
Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks for waking up so early in the morning to do the news.
Yeah, I mean, today is February 7th, and we've been at it since 4:15 this morning.
Yeah,
to get this out hot and fresh to our listeners.
We got three super dedicated cybersecurity professionals here delivering you the news at 4:15 a.m. So leave a comment if you appreciate it. All right, well, that's all we got for you today. Huge thanks to Doja Span and to our newest, favoritest, most awesomest guest, Trey. We really appreciate the two of you here giving us the news, and we wanted to give a special shout out to Doja Span's wife, who's much more than just a wife. She is our friend. Her name is Slegu Legu, and she's the best, and today is her birthday. So happy birthday, Slegu Legu.
Happy birthday, Steph.
Happy birthday, Slegu.
We love you. See you tomorrow! Thank you.